the dark, I play my dreams. Purple gorge flows like sweet springs. I'm the daddy with the know-how seed. Creating the world like it's meant to be. Purple gorge, B-I-M-P, I'm the king. Back to love in everything. Bring a change, making it last.
Welcome to episode 459 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on this earth that discusses permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes prostitutes.
Permaculture PIMP, looks over grace, in a VIP Pimpcast.
Oh yeah, good to be here with y'all. Even though I'm up in this hot studio, we don't have on the AC right now up here, and believe me, it is hot as Vulcan's pecker up in here. So look, y'all, I got the fan on and it is what it is. You're lucky I even got clothes on during this show. In fact, I do from the waist up, but it is burning up in here. This episode, as always, brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st. TPC, Tango Papa Charlie, will get you 5% off, folks. Don't fool around. Get your tickets. This thing's going to be hot. Hot as this room is right now. Also, Nessus Hemp, 10% off with promo code PERMA. All right. So as y'all can see, we're hot and heavy today. We're heavy one member of the family. And that's T from Mountain Readiness. How you doing, buddy?
Man, I've been sweating like a Hebrew slave all day long. But that's not a bad thing, you know, given the circumstances of what's falling out of the sky on us all the time.
That's a good thing, son. How are you holding up?
Pretty good. In fact, it's hotter where y'all are than it is where I am right now. I think you guys are like 4 or 5 degrees hotter than us. It's actually pretty tolerable outside right now. So hope y'all are hanging in there.
Well, I had an old boy I just got off the phone with a little bit ago. He's up in Minnesota. He told me it was 95 up there. I mean, it's usually bearable. I mean, when you work in Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, and all that, I mean, you know what heat and humidity feels like, but these people around here think it's dying. But when you're up in this second floor, believe me, it is burning up. But anyway, I'll just jump right into the farm news and we'll do a little round robin. Want to thank everybody for checking us out today. Believe me, hit that thumbs up, y'all. This is going to be a good one. Tell everybody we're live so they can get in here and see what's up. So, thank you, everybody in the chat. I'll be real quick on my end. So right off the bat, y'all, here's what I did today. Earlier today, I filmed a video of harvesting these carrots and beets, and I did a clandestine garden to show everybody how it's done, where you can grow food in plain sight, and every hoople-headed moron that's looking to rob you won't even know that it's food if you do it right. Camping in lines and rows, nearly everything in there is something you can eat. So just real quick, for the carrots, for anybody that wants to check this out, I think the video will probably come out on Friday. I just ain't got time to even edit or do anything else. But anyway, imagine 3 rows of carrots, and in between there, you put microgreens. It all grows up together, and nobody can tell that all of it's edible. So that's one. And then doing the same exact thing with the beets, where in that case, I just got a cover crop. Not all of it's edible, but a fair piece of it is. So think about those ways, especially in these times, that you can do some clandestine stuff. That's why we got my man on T tonight, because we're going to talk about how you can get some of these skills and where you can get them. Also, made some bone sauce for all you folks that have been asking. And that should be on the website now, and I'll put in more tomorrow as I know exactly how much I have. And then, for all of you people waiting with bated breath, wondering what I do with my urine, just hold steady, because I'm doing a comprehensive video on all the wonderful things that you can be doing with urine. Yeah, I said that right. Urine, the stuff that comes out of you that everybody just flushes down the toilet, not knowing that it can be your most valuable resource, especially at a time where all of the nitrogen-based fertilizers that they use getting out of the Middle East through the Haber-Bosch process, all of that ain't coming here. So you're about to be in a bind, nephew, if you've been waiting on this stuff to get in your garden. I'm going to show you some pretty nifty ways in which you can get out of that. So finally, I'm going to say, look, I'm way behind on pruning, but it doesn't matter. When you have I was down there in the food forest today picking a ton of blueberries, blackberries, currants, all of it, even peaches, y'all. We got them blowing up right now. So I've been out there picking all this stuff, even though the conditions are not absolutely perfect. And it doesn't have to be when you've got a food forest. So with that said, I'm going to kick it on over to William. Tell us what's been going on your week or your day.
Speaking of that urine, we just had a family friend come over. She was over at the house for a little bit, and she was talking about, we were talking about health in general. She just went to a holistic doctor who turned out to not be too legit. It's basically the holistic version of the natural version of a regular MD where they want to prescribe you a bunch of stuff. We introduced her to Logan, a bunch of the people basically who's on the panel for the Sovereign Health Summit, and urea therapy came up. And she talked about it, and I got to say this carefully. I'm going to give a disclaimer before I say this, because you have to on YouTube, otherwise we'll get a strike. So here's a massive disclaimer: consult your medical professional before you do this. But her daughter was little, her daughter had an ear infection, and her mom told her that's easy. Like, she was on the way to the doctor's office or about to go to a scheduled appointment. Her mom told her, like, hey, make her pee in a cup and then dribble a little bit in her ear. And on the way to the doctor, the little girl's ear was better. Supposedly. Remember, consult your medical professional. Have to say that because of YouTube. So just, you know, backing up that what do I do with my urine statement. That's one of the things that supposedly works. But around here, just trying to keep up with the cucumbers, the tomatoes, and the peppers. And out at the demonstration site, that's a bit like most people who grow a garden would look at that garden and think, oh, your garden is severely overgrown. It's not, you know, nothing's going to grow. You're not going to get a harvest because there's too many weeds, there's too many grass or too much grass or anything like that. And it's just not true. I harvested half a bushel of paste tomatoes earlier from that garden. And literally, I had to move the grass out of the way in order to get to the tomatoes. And they're doing fantastic. I would say probably like 90, it's not doing as good as it could if I were like on top of it a little bit more, but I would say like of the tomatoes produced, 90% of them are completely edible, no issues at all. The other 10%, which is perfectly fine with me, losing 10% to nature is not an issue with me at all. And that's pretty doggone good. And got a bunch of peppers from out of there, got a bunch of onions out of there. Now the only thing that's growing in that garden for right now are some tomatoes that are left, and then sweet potatoes and regular potatoes, which I could go ahead and harvest those regular potatoes at any point. Then here at the house, I've got some empty garden beds that I need to go ahead and fill in. I just haven't had the time to figure out what I'm even going to put in those empty garden beds yet. Definitely don't need to do any tomatoes and peppers, but I might just put in a cover crop and then hold off until the temperatures get a little bit cooler. Still trying to figure out what I'm going to do there, but yeah, trying to keep up with harvest right now is exactly what I'm trying to do. What about you, T?
Man, 450 chickens on the ground, about 45 Narragansett turkeys. Keeping up with them alone is a full-time job and a half. And we, you know, you guys have seen the homestead here. We don't have a lot of pasture land, so we're raising these mountain chickens. And you know they're mountain chickens because one leg is shorter than the other, so they can stand upright going up 8 to 10% grade all the way around us. So we actually had our Narragansett, one of our hens, you know, they're a heritage breed. They're endangered, probably because they're not very smart. But they have a bad habit about abandoning their clutch halfway through. Well, I had a hen that she just wanted to be a mama. So here a couple of weeks ago, we let her set. I was about to pull her. I was about to pull her off because she had lost so much weight. She was dead set on becoming a mom. And sure enough, bam, we got seven little baby poults running around now with her. She guards them and takes care of them. They're doing great. So, you know, we've been working this homestead. We've been raising all these chickens. We've got another 80 to 100. We've got to process next week. Working on the gardens and just trying to stay hydrated because it is just burning up nonstop. Also, you know, a guy's got to make a living, unfortunately, in this day and age. So I'm doing a little construction work on the side, doing some stone work on a house. And that's one of those skills, you know, those skill sets that everybody talks about. They focus on gear. They focus on their bug out bag and their truck and all this kind of stuff. But what about, can you fix your house? Can you do plumbing? Can you do basic electrical? All those things everybody neglects. So try to keep sharp and a sharpened edge on the trades, because those are worth their weight in gold. And that's it. Just try to make a couple bucks, spread some cheddar on this cracker.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, T, I mean, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I've honestly been kind of mowing over the idea of going back and getting my HVAC and refrigeration license. And part of I'd started right before COVID, and then I dropped out because these hoople headed Nazis down in Asheville wanted me to wear a mask. I said, I ain't wearing no mask. I got a doctor's note. I ain't doing it. But I was thinking, that's another little feather I want to get under my hat. And then here in the last, I don't know, 3 weeks, I had a freezer quit on me, and then I had a freezer fridge combo quit on me. Of course, I fixed both of them just using ChatGPT, but I was like, okay, what if it was a refrigerant problem that I can't deal with unless I pay some old boy to come out? But like you said, man, there is no, you know, I have a working knowledge about all the other trades, you know, as an electrician, you know its cousin, whether it's all the other ones or not. But I'm seriously thinking about going back, getting that HVAC for no other reason than not just to fix fridges or whatever. But I'll tell you what, in places where you are and where William is, people would go without eating before they go without AC. So that's definitely something. And a lot of these kids that are thinking about, what do I do after I get out of high school? They're going to send them off to college to go get a degree in worthlessness, and they're going to be upside there. You know, they're going to be paying this off forever and a day for a career they can't achieve. Why not go out there and go get you a trade? And sadly, a lot of them have been believing these guidance counselors, thinking they need to sit in an air-conditioned office all their lives.
You know, how many times do you see that, though? You see, there's now and again that I have graced the doorstep of a Starbucks. Yes, I know it's horrible, but I cannot count on both hands how many times I've met someone that has spent $80,000 to $100,000 on a degree, and they are now a Starbucks barista serving me a coffee. How sad is that? When the world of trades, I turn down more work in the construction business than I take, probably tenfold. My phone blows up all day long, because in this day and age, especially, I guess, in this area, you know, NAFTA come in, all of the good tradesmen left when they shipped all of the furniture building overseas. And there's nobody here that even wants to show up. They're just looking for somebody to show up that has a heartbeat, you know, and you just name your price at that point. So, and then if you throw in that you do good work and you do exactly what you say you're going to do, they will hound you to death. But, you know, people are like, how do I make money? It's easy. Get into the trades. Hey, it was good enough for Christ. It's good enough for me.
Bam. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. What do y'all think about ductless AC units? Yeah, I can hear. I'm here to tell you those. At first, I thought it was too good to be true. But man, I've been around these a number of times. And I tell you what, that not only are you going to save money on them, you can pinpoint and target exactly what you want cooled. So it's a whole lot easier. It's more user friendly. I would go with those. If I had to do everything over again, I'd probably go with those mini splits. That's what you're talking about. More than I would a central AC unit. So here's the another question.
Real quick on that note, the only thing that I noticed with those ductless AC units, the mini splits, is that they remove less moisture in the air. Where like your central AC, that seems to make like a little bit drier climate in your house. Whereas like the mini splits, like when we're in El Salvador, it was still very humid. I mean, it wasn't like intolerable. It just wasn't the same as like a central AC unit. So just keep that in mind. I know where Agape Field lives, so that's definitely a factor she's got to deal
with. And I would agree with that too. Just on a side note of those mini splits, you, because of the extra humidity, you're 100% right. You also got a little bit more mold issues depending on what you're running each unit in its own zone. So that's something to keep in mind too. You know, hot air meets cold air equals moisture and mold. Not good for a house.
Very good points. We'll take one more question and we'll drive on. This one here is from Scotty saying, how can I keep my garden dying from mid-June through September? I live in Southeast Alabama. My advice to you, Scotty, start drinking heavily. No, just move. Bro, William's going to tell you that in Texas, I think that's why I'll toss it over to him, but I think that's why he said he may just chill out until it's time to put in a fall garden.
Yeah, if it's not, I mean, if things are established right now, then you're generally going to be okay as long as you're growing like the appropriate things. Like my tomatoes out there, they can be in full sun in Texas, no issue. They might look like crap during the middle of the day, but every morning they're going to bounce back. Every night they're going to bounce back and be good to go again. But the thing that I would focus on is like, all right, whenever the plant label says full sun, they ain't talking about Texas. They ain't talking about like Southeast Alabama. They don't mean full sun all day. You really only need like 6 to 8 hours of mostly full sun. So what would help out a lot is if you just increased shade around your garden, which is where like the centropic pattern really comes in handy, where you have your perennial trees, where you're growing your perennial trees and you grow your annual garden between those trees. I think it was developed in like Brazil. If you grow those trees, grow your annual garden in between, as the trees grow up, they're going to provide shade for your annual garden, and you can grow both basically in the same spot. You could go with the shade cloth if you wanted to. Just make sure it's permeable enough where it's not like shedding water, more water than you're wanting, or adjust your watering system so where it's like a drip system underneath the shade cloth. But if you're growing the appropriate varieties, you should be good. And the more important thing, more important than keeping your plants protected, is keeping the soil protected. So if you have a good mulch layer or a ground cover over your soil, that's more important. As long as the roots don't burn up, you're good to go. If the top of the plant burns up a little bit, it's okay. It's going to recover every single night.
Okay. Now, just one more, because this is kind of a follow-up. She said, wow, great information. She's talking about the ducting and stuff like that. I'm going to give you a hack, maybe, because I can't actually say the word on here or they will cut this feed. One of the hacks for getting rid of some of this mold in your ducting and throughout your house is using a method called Miracle. Can I say this, son?
No, yeah, I'll tell you. I'll say it in a way that won't get us in any trouble at all. So in this application, it's going to be a cleaner. It's a cleaning solution that you're going to use, and it's chlorine dioxide. That's perfectly fine as long as we say it within that context. Yeah.
Now, the way you go about doing that is that you have intake vents all over your place. If you can set that up and you don't want to be in the house, allegedly, when this happens, you want to make sure
everything. You don't.
You don't want to
leave at that level.
Yeah, you're going to come back there and you're going to find out what those miners used to find out when they bring them canaries back into a place. So you don't want to be in that situation, but you can use that. Put your AC on high. Let this stuff run through there. You might want to be gone for a day. I'm sure there's somebody with a video online that's talked about that. You may have to go looking for something like that, but that might be one way to go about it. All right.
Well, hey, Dad, on that note, we can solve all the questions right now on that part right there. Just order it from Safrax, Saffrax. Order from Safrax and then email them and ask them, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. How much do I need to use? How much water do I use? Like what container, all that stuff. They'll give you a full, in fact, if you order it, they'll already give you a sheet of like how to do whatever it is you're trying to do. But if you email them, somebody will get back to you and they'll tell you exactly what to do. We in fact did it in this house and all the mildew in the bathroom is gone. The mold and mildew in the bathroom is completely gone. So,
yeah. So this stuff definitely gets the job done, but the powers that shouldn't be don't want you to know about it. All right. So let me hit these ads right quick, y'all, and we'll move on. Okay. We're going to talk about this here in a minute, y'all. And this is something you want to check out. July 24th through the 26th, Mountain Readiness is going to be up in Swan Lake, Montana. Maybe you might see a glimpse of what's left of those glaciers up there. If you know, you might want to get on the first thing smoking for that. All right. EMP Rocks. Got one right here under my feet. And along with that grounding mat as well. Perma will get you 10% off. And speaking of what I got my feet on, y'all, I'm G'd up from the feet up, and that means grounded. So Redemption Shield, 10% off with that. And then finally, Soil Savers. You can find it in the description box down below. All right, we're going to cover some of this good news right here. This won't take long, and then we're going to get into the main topic here. Strength training. Now, this is kind of a piggyback on what we talked about last time. Strength training, especially in women, rebuilds natural cancer defenses in aging muscle, this study finds. So all you ladies out there, you know, you want to try to work on them guns a little bit. Doesn't have to be a whole lot of weight, just anything. Just don't be sedentary. That's number one. So that's good news. Number two, NIH emails show years of coordinated pandemic planning before COVID-19. Now, why am I calling that good news? the fact that it's finally hitting the light of day in the mainstream media, even though many of us already knew about this forever and a day. Fauci and all the other scumbags were in here talking about this stuff and what they were going to do long before it ever happened. Meanwhile, a lot of people are out there dead and a whole lot of other people out there dealing with things that are, who knows, maybe light, long illnesses because of that. But anyway, it's starting to hit the light of day. And then thirdly, Supreme Court unanimously upholds. Now, this is hot off the presses. Supreme Court unanimously upholds state bans on trans testicle athletes in female sports. Okay, they didn't actually, I changed the headline a little bit, but, you know, gots to do what I gots to do. I'm going to call that good news because there are apparently a number of people, and I live by them right here near Asheville, that still seem to think that, you know, your sex is optional. T, are you at all considering, you know, what's your stance on stuff like this? I mean, are you at all?
You know, as a guy that fought MMA for about 7 years, like our buddy Pat, just not on the same level, like, I can't even believe that you would allow stuff like this. You know, I don't care how skinny the guy is or how well built the woman is. We're just not the same. You know, what a boring world if we were all the same. That's the whole point, being individuals. And so, you know, you see some of these fights I've watched. I can't remember who they were, but, you know, this guy and a gal in the ring. And I mean, he pummels her half to pieces, you know. And how do you allow that? How do you even call that fair? I don't know. It's mind blowing. And then is all happy about winning the fight. I would be so ashamed at that point. I think there's only one woman that I know, actually two, my wife and probably Mariah Prussia, you know, that I would really have to watch jumping into a ring with. But even then, you know, you're talking about, this is anatomy 101, guys. Why would we even allow something this insane? And before I shut up, it's not too often that my children, you know, my children are all grown. The youngest is 20. The oldest is 28 now. And my youngest, Hannah Toombs, just jumped into the chat to say hi. So she's coming up to Montana. So usually they're like, man, I'm so tired of hearing my dad run his mouth. You know, I mean, it's just how kids are. But hello, babe. I'm glad you jumped in here. And I'm looking forward. She's coming to our Montana event coming up here real soon.
That's awesome. Well,
that is so cool. Yeah, that fighter you're talking about was named Fallon Fox. And it was a dude. Now, if there was any other dude out here putting a woman through a 5-minute flurry of fists like that, dude, they'd be putting them in the first thing smoking on the jail. But because, and then how anybody would even go for this. Like you said, even if he was a marginal fighter, you have bone density. You got all these other things that make these guys just infinitely more. I don't care how many, you know, I won't stay on that too much, but man, I am telling you, it is a, I just don't even understand the world I live in that this is even possible. My dad is one of the smartest guys I know. Yep, he is.
Man.
Hannah, you're going to make him cry.
She got some brownie points on that one.
Yep. Hey, Hannah, you ain't got no money. So
that's right. I just said I needed some cheddar. I mean, you know what that means. I need some of them greenbacks. No, it's insane. Last time I seen a beatdown like that, with a man on a woman, you know, a trailer park was involved. I mean, that's just insane.
Yeah, no kidding, man. That's how it goes down. All right, so that's all the good news I got so far there, but we'll come into that in a minute. All right, with that said, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider. Actually, I think that was an old one, so I guess we don't have anything from Eric. All right, y'all, Wellness Blanket, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Check that out. Before we get into the main topic here, one more question here from Danielle. I can't tell with these glasses on. What do y'all do about Japanese beetles? All right. You got any kind of problems out there you think are problems? You got a soil problem. Read One Straw Revolution by Masanobu Fukuoka, Japanese genius. I tell everybody just getting into this game, read that book, and you're going to find out that you don't have a Japanese beetle problem. You got a lack of life in your soil problem. It's not even a genetic problem 9 times out of 10. It's a soil problem. So you can go do what my oldest brother would do and go out there and put 7 dust on everything, and all you're going to do is exacerbate the problem for next year. Or you can go out there and say, okay, you know what? I lost out on this one, And if you grow a garden like the one I'm talking about, you will do what Jeff Lawton often calls as confusing the pests or the insects, where you don't just grow one thing out there. You are going to have, like Stefan Subkowiak, when I was up there in Canada, he had Japanese beetles up there, and it's not uncommon to see a few. It's just when they're taking over everything, that means there's something out there not keeping them in check. So that's why you want to have a diversity out there. Son, you want to add to that?
Yeah, keep in mind your garden is an ecosystem. So it's not like there's nothing wrong with having Japanese beetles out there. I got potato bugs out there. I got Japanese beetles out there. I got all kinds of stuff out there, but none of it is disrupting the harvest because it's a healthy ecosystem out there. So yeah, just keep in mind and also calculate a 10% loss to nature. There's nothing wrong with calculating a 10% loss to nature. And if you're only losing 10% of your crop to whatever pest it may be, whatever kind of natural event it may be, you're still doing very, very good. For example, that ZZ farm in, what was it, South Africa that Dr. Elaine Ingham went and saved, they were, what, keeping 10% of the crop? Like they were losing 90% to just, you know, pests and disease and things like that. And they were only benefiting from 10%. And they were still a functioning business at the time. So, yeah, calculate 10% nature to or loss to nature, and you're still doing very, very good.
You know, we just had all the Japanese beetles come flying in on us too. And since I got that comfrey from you, Billy, and planted that all around these trees and all, I've even got around a lot of my plants. I've got these in particular, Georgia candy roaster squash out here. They're just growing like weeds, looking phenomenal. All of a sudden the Japanese beetles come in, start chewing on them, and then they just quit. I've been doing the chop and drop, you know, with the comfrey all the way around all these plants, everywhere I've got comfrey, you know, you chop it. And then within 2 weeks, you're ready to drop more down. All of a sudden they just quit eating on it. I don't know if it's something to it or not, but it appears that whatever that comfrey is doing and in that soil and using it as compost, they don't care for it much.
Well, you may have birds that are rolling in and keeping them in balance. It's not uncommon to see a lot of these things. I mean, like right now, ever since I installed that DPE Agriculture X, and I've talked about it in that little video that I got coming up. Man, we're seeing pollinators like we've never seen before. But when you bring in all the good stuff, you're going to find out that nature will find a way if you just create, like William said, a great ecosystem out there. An ecosystem isn't just one thing. It isn't a monocrop. That's why I don't plant a garden with just one thing out there. There's a whole lot going on there. And, you know, are you going to get the largest harvest ever? No, but I'm not a trophy hunter either. So I just need a respectable harvest. And I also got to look at, putting things back for nature as well. All right. With that said, we're going to jump right into it. So folks, in this time where everybody's seeing stagflation, well, not stagflation yet, but shrinkflation, everybody sees it. We eat everything organic around here. So every once in a while, I want a bag of chips or something. So I go buy these ones from, oh man, it's a Mexican brand. I can't think of the name, but Siete. Yeah. So I get them, they cook them in avocado oil, and they don't have any junk in it. It's just potatoes and salt and oil. That's it. And it's avocado oil. And man, I've been buying these for a while now. Get back home, you got half in the bag. Okay, that's only, and then it costs twice as much. You're seeing this all the way around, folks. And I got news for you. I got bad news for you. Depending on how you take it, it's going to get worse. It's going to get way worse. And like T was talking about in the beginning of having this whole basket of skills that he has up there where he's got to turn people away. Folks, I'm in the same position. I am literally, when they find out you're an electrician, oh, can you do this? Can you do that? No. But I'm telling you, it's nice to know that if I wanted to, or if I had to, or worst case scenario, I can go out there with the tools in my back and go get a job and get myself squared away. Well, that's exactly the way we got to be in our skills. That's why we're going to be talking about where you can acquire some of these survival skills that everyone should know before the next crisis hits. And there's a whole lot of us that found out right here in Western North Carolina that these things can be planned by the government. They can come in ways you never imagined. Nobody ever thought about being flooded out in the freaking mountains. So all these things are important. But we are at a time in the United States of amnesia where people have fewer and fewer and fewer of these skills. Well, you know, when you want to talk about where you can acquire these things, we go to the main source, and that's tea from Mountain Readiness, because hands down, the best homestead preparedness, whatever festival you've ever had in your life. I mean, classes you're going to see there, you will not see anywhere else. And folks, I've been to a lot of these things. And it's all under one roof, but he's out to a new location. It's going to be out in Montana. T, why don't you tell us about what you got going on?
No, absolutely. And that means a lot, man. I really appreciate that, Billy, when you say that. We've worked hard for 4 years to try to build this. And, you know, the biggest thing is vetting our instructors and educators. You know, there's tons of events, and I'm not going to knock them. They all got their place. But at the same time, it's like they're all battling to see who can have the most instructors. Oh, we have 150 instructors. Well, 149 of them haven't never done it for they don't do it as a job. They haven't done it as a career, and they're not still doing it. You know, our instructors are all doing it. They've either done it, you know, they're either ex-military, they're homesteaders, whatever it is that they're working in. They live that life, and that's super important to what we're doing. So, you know, Montana is our next event. We've got, it's in Swan Lake. We have an 80-acre veteran-owned lodge. Most of the proceeds we're going to be punching into this lodge because it's a nonprofit. It's for a good cause. And it's one of those two-edged sword places because it's out in the middle of nowhere. So it's harder to find them. So we're trying to get them that exposure, but also you get this serene 80 acres. They've got a dining hall. We've got campsites. We've got dry dock RV. We've got two live fire ranges. I mean, this place is hooked up. And on top of it, it's 1 hour from Glacier National Park. So we're going to all load up in the trucks come Monday, head up there and check that out before it melts off and disappears off the face of the earth, and check that off the bucket list.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, okay. Real quick, there was a question earlier in the chat that was asking, and I already know the answer to this, but they were asking, could you please, it was Agape Field, could you please come to Texas? Now, you got a Texas event coming up. Do you want to give more details on that?
It's already scheduled. I wanted to, look, jump on mountainreadiness.com, and you'll scroll over there. We got Mountain Readiness Lone Star that's going to be in March right there in Grapeland, Texas. We're going to be off of the Lake Salmon. We've got a big, huge RV park. It's got a lake. I think there's a 60-foot water slide out into it. Can't wait to see what the insurance company hits me for that. But it's going to be a good time. We've got a bunch of instructors that roll with us, rock for the love, that'll be going to Montana as well as the Texas event. And of course, we're going to try to rope William into it, along with a bunch of the instructors that we know that are already in that vicinity.
You know, we'll come back to the event here in a minute, and folks, you're going to want to stick around because, like I said, they got classes you're not going to find anywhere else. You know, in these times, if someone only had, like, you know, a short amount of time to prepare for, let's say, the next crisis, what are some of the key survival things they ought to be shooting for right off?
Well, I mean, let me touch what you were talking about, you know, with the prices and you know, how you're only getting a half a bag of chips and things like that. I believe we even spoke about this here not too long ago, but I was walking through the grocery store, you know, and eggs are $5 and it just inflated, and you're paying more for less and all this. And I'm strolling around, and lo and behold, my cart is half full, and it's like $300+ worth of stuff laying in this thing. I'm like, good night, man. I would hate to see what it looks like for a family that has, you know, 2, 3, 4 kids, what this looks like if they're relying on everything from these big box stores. And I turned the corner into the electronics department, and lo and behold, 72-inch flat screen smart television, $348.99, because that's how Wally World does their prices. And I'm like, this thing is coming, it's traveling across the oceans, all the tariffs, all these things. And this little half of a cart is just about the same price as this humongous flat screen TV, you know? And so what I really try to drive into people when we're talking about preparedness and survival and self-reliance, for lack of a better term, is, have you noticed that things that are necessities are becoming insane priced, but things of technology and these tracking devices are dirt cheap? There's a reason for it, y'all. You know, there's a reason for that. I actually had to go get me another rectangle of death here because I'll run my phones until they just fall apart. And I've got a good friend that works there, and he always gives me the legit lowdown. And you know, I'm like, hey, I need another phone. He's like, look, I can put you into this Samsung Galaxy 10. It's got the best camera, audio, blah, 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 blah. It's like $1,000 phone. I'm like, man, like, what's that going to cost me? It's free. I'm like, what do you mean it's free? He's like, yeah, you just got to sign up and pay your bill. And not only that, we're going to knock a few bucks off your bill. I said, so you telling me I get $1,000 phone and it's free and I don't even have to do anything? He's like, well, yeah, because this is the new 5G and they want all the old phones off the market. And so that's the whole gig. You know how this works. Think about that, guys. So you know what some of the classes we're going to be doing? Digital sovereignty, you know, how to keep under the radar on this stuff. That there is a huge part of the world we live in. We're on it right now. We have to do it. You know, your cars are computers. Everything is smart. This, your robot vacuum that China's spying on you through when you roll, you know, cruise it around the house. All this stuff is invasive and it's tracking everything that we do every second of the day. So digital sovereignty, trying to stay out of that. We're going to be hands-on chicken processing. Man, know your food. And if you can't know your food, at least know where it's coming from, because you can't walk down that aisle without seeing a whole bunch of bioengineered this. I can't find anything that doesn't say bioengineered on it walking through the grocery stores. Can you guys?
At least they're saying it now.
Yeah, I haven't looked. I mean, I try to be a complete Nazi these days as to what I'm going to eat. And yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, if it says it, if there's anything even closer, I don't understand what that is. I just don't buy it. But I'll tell you what I am doing. I'm getting really good at making what there was a guy named Michael Pollan, I believe. Yeah. He wrote Omnivore's Dilemma. He says, you know what? I think you should be allowed to eat anything you want as long as you make it. So got a bunch of peaches coming off these trees. Michelle's going to make a pie. Okay, it ain't me making it, but, you know, I'll be picking the fruit. I'm sure she's down there shaking her head right now. But yeah,
man, just let me know when it comes out the oven, man. I need to stop by because them peaches.
Wow. I'm telling you what, man, she is a phenomenal cook. But yeah, that's what a lot of people better get better at doing is if you don't want this bioengineered stuff, man, you better get kind of good at making it at home or finding some way. I know you've taken a big step in that way in your own life, T, as far as trying to source everything you can, because you're worried about getting mixed up in this junk
every single day. It's doing the traveling thing. I know William understands this. He's always on the road. You know, he came down to Mountain Readiness here in Harmony last May and, you know, staying in the van and he's packing all kinds of food and treats with him and stuff like that. Man, it is a hard life to try to keep eating good when you're on the road traveling and doing the stuff that we have to do. So figuring out, you know, we're 100 mile an hour full bore on freeze drying. You know, you look at these freeze dried foods and they are so packed with sodium and not the good type and preservatives and stuff that the last time I ate one of these name brand little meals, I about stroked out. Like ears turn red, start shaking, getting dizzy. I'm like, wow, what just happened? You know, so our freeze dryer, we run that thing and you can watch the meter back here just spinning around like a top. But that's okay, because being able to take food that we have on the homestead and put it into, you know, we'll take a rack of cheese, a rack of our eggs, a rack of our chicken sausage, potatoes, all the way down and freeze dry that all up. And then I'll throw it into little MREs. I make my own MREs. Yep. And the great part is not only is there no preservatives, no garbage in it. Most of it we sourced here from the homestead. You can actually hit the toilet, you know, after using it instead of 2 weeks of, I don't know if any of y'all's ate MREs, but it ain't something you want to eat for a long time.
You got to chew that gum.
Yeah, man, I'm here to tell you that, no, we do it exactly the same way. I make my own, you know, whereas when I first got this freeze dryer, what we would do was take individual things and maybe this, but like you, I make complete meals, because when I got to get into it, I'm not looking to try to say, okay, I need to put this together. man, you're in a crisis situation half the time if you got to feel like you got to get into it. So they're already made, and it's made exactly the way I like it and perfectly, but it's also a good way to put up that harvest. But yeah, I'm right there with you, bro. That's about the only way we're rolling around these days, unless it's some really good high-end restaurant like we ate at that one time, that one place you brought us to. I'm really careful about where we're going these days. But real quick, I got to ask, because I know y'all did some barbecue when we were over there once. Y'all ever try freeze-drying any barbecue? I have never done that.
You know, I haven't. I did just because I think I can get it to where it needs to be. But I took bananas and I sliced them long ways into little strips. And then I think where I messed up is I took some natural peanut butter. I mixed some honey into it and I put it on top of the bananas. And I freeze dried these bananas with peanut butter and honey on top of them. They tasted phenomenal. I just got to get more moisture out of them. I got to figure out how to make that work. I'm actually thinking about maybe that living nectar, like sprinkling on top of stuff when I throw it in. So, you know, apples, you know, if you take apples and you freeze dry them, you throw a little cinnamon on there, they taste amazing. But I'm like, what would that living nectar on top of apples freeze dried taste like? So that's my next venture, just to kind of see what that looks like. But, you know, it's also a great treat. And, you know, how can you beat 30 plus year shelf life at no weight? And you're getting 98%+ of the flavor and the nutrients out of it. I mean, there is a place for canning, but if you can afford that freeze dry, y'all, that's a game changer right there. But no, I haven't tried barbecue, but I'm not against it.
But David Zimmerman just said, I have freeze-dried pulled pork and barbecue beef. The only concern that I would have with either one is, maybe like some of the fat content, like if you're doing burn ends or something like that. I don't know how well that would freeze-dry. But also, potentially, if you smoke the meat the way Dad does, giving up the dog on location as soon as you open up that package, and now everybody smells, especially if everybody's hungry, everybody's going to smell that smoke, and then yeah, it's all done with there.
That's a very good point, son.
On the preservatives part, though, that lets you know that it has to be like an intentional poisoning, because you just freaking preserved it, freeze drying it. So why would you need further preservatives in the food or in the drinks or whatever it may be? It doesn't make any sense.
And it's way safer too. I mean, think about this. You know, canning, you already know after 3+ years, or you don't get something just right. Maybe there was a little mark, you know, a little piece up on the lid where it didn't seal quite right. You can't see that botulism and stuff in there. It doesn't even have smell. So, you know, I like that safe. If you pop that freeze-dried bag open, it's going to be all molded up and nasty. In fact, I've seen them where they get a hole and they'll swell up. You know, we were over on it. It just swelled up because it's decomposing in there, and it's, you know, making all those gases. And you know right off the bat if it's good or not. If you open it up and it looks good and it smells good, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times. Son, go ahead.
Now, okay, so let's say somebody's listening to this podcast and they woke up literally in this moment. They just started realizing what's going on. They just realized that they needed to prepare. Where would you, like, what are the top three things that you suggest they either purchase or skills that they should learn, or where would they begin right now if they just woke up literally watching this podcast?
Man, you know, there's always the main five, you know, fire, water, food, shelter, security. You know, that's always the, you know, number one, water. You got to have good, clean water. It doesn't matter if you're in the city, you got to figure out how to make that water clean. You got to figure out how to store that water. You got to figure out how to make that water, drinkable. As you know, growing up off grid, like it was 20 to 30 gallons of water a day for a family of five that I packed muled in with a ox, you know, got the yoke and everything, 2 5-gallon jerry cans. And so, you know, water in itself is a whole lot of work, and, you know, it's calories in, calories out. The same thing it applies to water. If you're sweating more water out than you're taking in because you're trying to boil it or do this, or you're packing it right, you're going to expire. You know, so number one, how are you going to have good, clean water depending on where you live? Maybe I have a spring, I have a pond, I have a well that's an artesian spring that was capped. So water is not an issue for me, but there's a lot of people that don't have that. So, you know, what are you doing? Water catchment systems off of the eaves of the house, which that's great. We still do that even with the well and the pond and everything else, you know, having a good filtration system. That's something, you know, we use like, everything. I've got an H2 Go, which produces chlorine. Nobody wants to drink chlorine, but if you're talking about killing Giardia and all this stuff that's super bad, you know, that's a great piece of equipment. It also makes sanitizing solution, which in the medical world. So that would be my second. Number one, water. Number two, medical. You know, how many people did we see get sick and hurt over here in Hurricane Helene? And so, when you're talking about a flood and all that toxic waste and stuff that washed up in there, I mean, I remember Samaritan's Purse, all the people were getting sick as a dog out there doing muck outs and stuff like that, right? So we had upper respiratory problems. We had people getting cuts with bad infections, because if you expose your, you know, a cut to that kind of filth, then, you know, you're gonna be in a bad place. And a little bitty cut, I actually know someone, his father got a little bitty cut on his inner thigh, didn't do anything about it. It got infected. A week and a half later, they were going to cut his leg off. All right. Because it spread into his bloodstream and started, you know, a little cut. Think about having 30 years of food on the shelves, all the pew-pews in the world, you're set up like a top, and all of a sudden a little cut takes you out of the game. Man, what a sad day, right? So medical would be my second. Get some solid medical training, which we'll be doing a lot of that at Mount Readiness in Montana, as well as here in October coming up here in North Carolina. And then third, I would guess, would be, you know, your food. You know, where are you setting at with your food? Knowing your food. If you got the area, man, grow something. Raise some chickens, something. Man, I just did a post, just a little short video of all the eggs we're pulling in. I hear everybody else, because of the heat, they're like, oh, our chickens are stressed, they're not laying any eggs. Man, we're catching literally 30 plus eggs a day out of these 35 chickens, our layers, and they ain't slowing down. But we put the time in, we're moving them every few days to fresh water every single day. So know your food, make sure you got stuff. And then there's that other one I'll end it on, is your budget. What does your budget look like? You know, people are like, oh, you need this piece of gear and you need that, and you need to spend all this money on this. Do what your budget allows. If your budget is rice and beans and peanut butter, look, dog, that's better than dying, right? So go to the stores, get you those free buckets from, you know, Wally World and all these places that have food grade buckets. They'll give them to you for free. Wash them out, go buy you a bunch of rice and beans and stuff like that, and slam it up on the shelf. So that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah. Folks, Amber from Rustic Roots Heritage Homestead, and by the way, you ought to go over there and subscribe. She put on something here that honestly, I haven't put enough effort into. Now, I guarantee Michelle has, because her and Amber are kind of twins when it comes to this. But Amber says, we went through 100 gallons today with the animals. That's you know what? If you rely on those animals, as we do, as all of us do, sitting here right in this chat, if you're relying on those animals, man, I wonder how many people have even thought how much they need to put back for them. Because you got your livestock dogs, they got to look after things, and they got to be able to work. You can make them live on just eggs. Ask me how I know. But I don't know how many people have really thought about, you know what, if something goes dry, or I'm not getting it, if that water ain't coming through those pipes from the city, how am I going to look after these cows? How am I going to look after whatever it is I have out here? Pigs, sheep, chickens, it don't matter. So that's one of the big ones out there. So I'm glad you brought that up, Amber. Also, T, I want to ask you, because I heard a Delta Force operator, can't remember what interview it was. I was sitting there like doom scrolling or something a weekend. It may have been one of these Saturdays a while back. And he brought up something that I'm glad you kind of hit on, but I want to kind of put an emphasis on it. You know, when you look at Delta Force or SEAL Team 6, the only real tier one operators out there that we know of, and now we're finding out there's actually somebody above them. Nobody really knows the name of them. But anyway, they were talking about the very thing that we've known forever and a day. More people died in the Civil War because of infections than they ever did being shot by bullets. More people died in World War I for the same reason. Sanitation got a whole lot better in World War II and all the subsequent, you know, battles that we've had since. But how much emphasis do you think people really ought to be putting into? Because it ain't one of the sexy items. When you go to a lot of these homestead gatherings, you know, you'll have the guy with the bug out truck. You'll have the guy with this thing over here, you know, all the fancy guns and all this and that. How neglected do you think it is in terms of people looking after, like you mentioned ago, you know, cuts, scrapes, sicknesses, all that stuff? I'm just wondering how neglected you think that is in the preparedness community.
That would be huge. I mean, look at New York during the Reagan administration when all the guys at the waste management went on strike. You know, in 3 days, New York was shut down with garbage, you know, part of sanitation. You couldn't even get down the street. Reagan had to come in and threaten, you know, the trash companies to start doing their job, or he was going to, you know, put them to the test. And the same thing is with, you know, toilets and things like that. Growing up, we had a 5-gallon bucket, I kid you not, with a toilet seat on it. That was our sanitation. And every day, one of my other jobs that was not so glamorous was to carry that bucket out into the woods and in the hole that we had dug that we covered up with a sheet of metal, pour it in there. Once it gets full, we'd fill it back in. Dad was always using it for compost. Yes, you can do that. Same thing what we were just talking about, urine. All right, make it useful. It does just as well as far as fertilizer that I've seen with plants growing up. So, but you know, how many people died of dysentery because of throwing their stuff out in their backyards, back on the prairies, you know, next to their well and their cisterns and their drinking areas. So yeah, that's a huge thing. That's a huge thing. Think about a world too that we've already seen with the big C word back a few years ago with toilet paper. Hey, what you going to use for that? There's some more sanitation.
Now, Rustic Roots Heritage Homestead just said, even the TV show made a really good point talking about what you guys just talked about. Even the TV show alone, most people who end up having to leave is because of medical issues, most avoidable. In fact, I think the number one reason that I've noticed that people leave that TV show alone is because they haven't like pooped in like a month or something like that. And that's where people screw up.
Fat intake. You know, our friend Alan Kay that you met there at Mountain Readiness won the first season of Alone. He made it 56 days. He was all beat up. Jax Janega, she's on season 13. And I don't know if you remember her from she was doing the wild edible stuff and navigation.
Yeah.
You know, these guys get pulled emergent medically. Because they lose so much weight, the body starts going into that ketosis because you're not getting, you know, enough carbs. And the next thing you know, they've lost all of their muscle and body weight, and they're on the verge of starting to have organ damage, which, you know, that's a possibility too. You know, if the shelves go empty in the grocery stores, you know, fat is in carbs. That's super important to stay alive and stay in the game.
Now, go ahead. Now, one of the things that as you get more and more into preparedness, at first, whenever somebody first gets into it, they're like, all right, I'm going to prepare as best as I can. And then as you prepare more and more, you realize like, oh, I can't learn all of the skills. I can't do all of the things. I need community. That is one of the more difficult things to create is community, but you've done it very, very successfully. In fact, you've done it in a couple of different locations, just with the Swan Lake Mountain Readiness. You're creating community there. You're going to create community at the Salmon Lake one in Texas. For like just short of coming up or building a new festival, how would you suggest people create that community or build a local community that can be like a mutual assistance group or just like some friends that can help along with certain tasks? How do you recommend people do that?
Well, I mean, you know, hundreds of years ago, there was no lone wolf communities, right? If you were by yourself, you usually didn't make it, you know, so it required you to be a viable asset to that community. You had to have skills that were beneficial to the group, you know, and I know Billy all the time talks, and I'm the same way, you know, people coming up that drive, you better watch it. You know, everybody's like, oh, I'm coming to your house if something goes sideways. What you got to offer. You know, that's why these skills are so important, because when things go sideways, people become very self-centered, and that's just human nature. You're going to take care of you and your own and your children. before anybody else. It's just the way it is. We are naturally made to survive. Our body wants to live. And so, you know, something to think about. Be a viable asset to your community. As far as building community, there's not too many people that live in an area where they don't have a neighbor, at least pretty close. Go talk to them, right? If you can't make it to the events, and I'm going to keep putting dots on the map. So, you know, coming to a state near you before it's all said and done, but go talk to your neighbors. And I've said it many times before too. Isn't it better to know if your neighbor is not a good person before things go sideways than after? I would rather know if my neighbor sucks now than if something went really bad and then I have to find out. Because, you know, that looks a whole lot worse. People are going to be way more. Here's the other point. People are not, they don't want to be your friend when the world ends. All right. So go see your neighbors and make those bonds if they are, if you guys are compatible, you know. But I also say be very, very leery and vet your neighbors as well, because you guys know as well as I do, we've seen it in Hurricane Helene. You see it in all these other countries, third world countries, when stuff goes bad, man, people will do some extreme bad things when it comes to being hungry and staying alive.
Yeah, true enough. Donna Ray has a really good comment here. Yeah, learn about wild edibles, eating the weeds. Now, check this out, y'all. Here's one stat. I can't remember where I got it from. It's from years back. But most people that die in the wilderness were surrounded by things they could have eaten. So, yeah, finding fat in a lot of those things, in a lot of those cases, is going to be unusual. Unless some Bigfoot or Chupacabra runs off with you, there's usually something out there you can possibly do. So you want to learn all that stuff. Well, T, now that we're getting down to the shady end of this show, you got an event that's going to be right out there in Montana.
Yeah.
How can people, what are some of the skills that they can acquire while being there? What are some of the big classes, and what are some of the training events that you're going to be having out there for all the people that might be in the area, or ones, you know, we're in the summer, y'all, you might want to take a little road trip out there. So, you know, go say hi to T and Amber out there. So, you know, what are you going to be able to get?
Oh, it's gorgeous. You know, we're going to have dinners in the evening. We'll have live music. And of course, that community thing, that's huge. You'd be surprised how many people you meet at these events that you didn't even know was your neighbor, you know? And this is the place, people that come to our events, they're seeking other people to grow with. And so that's what makes it awesome. But we're going to be doing, I've got a Delta operator with Gorilla Medical. He's one of the three that are coming. We're going to be doing medical classes all 3 days. I've got comms, you know. Comms were the big problem with Helene, especially all the repeaters were knocked out except for that one. I think it was down at Batcave, wasn't it? There was only one repeater that didn't get knocked out. And there was people that were cut off from, you know, from everything for weeks on end. So we're teaching comms. We've got a bunch of tactical training. We've got homesteading. We've got Pat Miletich out there teaching hand-to-hand combat. We've got Mariah Prussia that's going to be teaching combatives for women. You know, and if you think that combatives is not something that you should learn, man, check out Dearborn, Michigan right now. Right, the end. I don't even know how else to say it, y'all. Like, I thought I was watching a video from Afghanistan, and it was Dearborn, Michigan. Yep. I say no more. You know, it's better to be prepared, and that's what it's about. So we've got all those classes. We've got sourdough bread making. We've got chicken processing. Of course, Doc Will is out there with Pat talking about soil health, cellular health, microbiology, all the stuff that those guys are doing, as well as you guys. It's going to be a star-studded event as well. And it's in an 80-acre, awesome place. And we're benefiting veterans all at the same time.
Will there be an opportunity for the people that are looking for lodging? What do you have in terms of that out there? Is it going to be camping? Is it going to be, are there amenities nearby?
Well, so this is, it's remote, guys, but we have dry dock RV. There is hot showers on site, water, we'll have food, all that kind of stuff. And then of course, tent camping. So it's like a little community. I mean, this place literally has its own, water purification, plant, fire truck. I mean, it's like its own little city out there in the middle of nowhere. So we've got all the amenities. We're going to have vendors on site. We're going to be doing giveaways and prizes. And of course, at the end of the day, you're sitting there breaking bread. And what's really awesome is that you're breaking bread with these people that you only have seen on, I mean, take Pat Miletich, the guy, what was it? UFC 16, first welterweight champion, trained more champion UFC fighters than anyone else. You're going to be hanging out there with them at a campfire chatting. And that's the best part about this event is you get some great hands-on classes and skills because we're all about hands-on. But after the fact, you get to sit there and talk and pull that knowledge from these people that usually you would only be watching on a television.
You know, what's so cool about that is the guys, the people that I know, like Pat Miletich, y'all, do you have any idea? He was one of the most sought after trainers on the planet when it came to mixed martial arts. And there was a time where his fighters pretty much owned the UFC. And then also Mariah is going to be out there, folks. And Pat is one of the most approachable people you're ever going to meet. No ego, no dumb stuff, no nonsense. Just having the opportunity to know and just go up to Pat and say, hey, Pat, look, hey, I'm a little old lady. I want to know how to strangle somebody. And Pat will show you. We'll go up to Mariah.
Absolutely.
Say, yeah. They will show you right there on the spot how you can choke somebody down. You know, let's say you're in the middle of a Walmart and somebody got that last carton of milk. You may want to choke them down. No, I'm just kidding. Man,
I've seen some of them days. We had the power loss for 2 weeks and it was in the dead of winter. And I went in to the local hardware store to get some heat tape, try to get the generator. And I got into about a fist fight with a guy that grabbed it out of my hand, you know, over a last heat tape. You never know. Yeah. I picked it up and he grabbed it. I said, hey, look, bro, this is mine. He's like, I need it. I say, you need your teeth too. You better come off that heat tape. But you never can tell what life's going to throw your way.
Man, you might want to show that dude some, oh, go ahead.
And you never know when you might have to choke somebody down in the checkout line. So you never know, son. Go ahead.
You might want to show that dude some grace because clearly if he picked on you in North Carolina, there's easier targets in North Carolina than T.
He was desperate. I was desperate too, man. You know, it come down once again. That's what survival looks like. Y'all ain't nobody offering nothing up. And I wouldn't expect them to, you know, everybody is worried about them and theirs. And that's how survival works. So get your stuff in order.
That's real wonderful. Quick. Oh, go ahead, son.
Real quick. All right. So everybody that's going out to the Montana event, how many people do you think are just going to permanently, once they see the place, once they go out to Swan Lake, how many people do you think are going to just permanently live out there? They ain't
leaving. Man, I love Montana until I see the 5 feet of snow things. And then I'm like, now right now, the 5 feet of snow don't look too bad. It just don't with this heat that we're getting. But they just got like 4 foot on the pass right next to one of the authors that's going to be teaching a class out there. She just sent me a picture and there's like 4 foot of snow where they're plowing through it up there. You know, they've got good equipment. And I sent her a picture of, you know, off the mountainside here and the sun shining and all that. And she's like, I'm jealous. I was like, it's 100 degrees. Don't be jealous. We're burning to death. But no, it's gorgeous, guys. Like this place is like stuff that dreams are made of. So, and we're going to be eating elk. We've got some elk there that's hanging. I mean, this is going to be a righteous time. I want to say one thing. And I was reading earlier and I come across a quote, Robert Greene Ingersoll. You ever heard of that guy?
No,
he was Robert Greene Ingersoll. He was a lawyer and writer. He was also agnostic, you know, so, you know, pretty much so an atheist, but he had this great quote and I thought it applied to so much. And he said, in nature, there are neither rewards nor punishments. There are consequences. And that is, in a nutshell, can be applied to everything when you're talking about preparedness, homesteading, everything else. You cannot fight Mother Nature. You have to learn to work with her. And if you don't get your ducks in a row, you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Is he the 48 laws of power guy?
I don't think so, but okay. I could be wrong.
T, what I love about your events more than anything is that one thing that drives me crazy about some of the other events is that they get speakers or people in there that are teaching something and they're just not accessible beyond the stage. That's never the case at your events, man. I'm over here hanging out, folks. I mean, at T's event recently, it's just something else to be able to be in the room with, when I say legends in the Green Beret community, y'all, I'm talking living legends in the community. And you're sitting there having like down to earth conversations. You're joking with these guys. You're having a good time. You're laughing, having fun, all of it with all these instructors right there. Like I said, Pat Miletich and all the rest of them, they're going to be right there, folks. You can reach out and touch them. And if you're one of these introverted people that thinks, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but if you're like, I don't want to ask a question in front of everybody, they will be around. A lot of them will be. So I'm guessing all the instructors are going to be on site as well.
Everybody's there for the duration. So, you know, just this last May, if you guys came to last May in Harmony, North Carolina, William and Billy were both there. So you guys all there in the chats, if you never met these dudes other than watching them on the screen here, they were doing a hands-on sheet processing, man. We did this from start to finish. These guys were rocking it out. And then William does a compost and William stayed on site. You know, we're all hanging out. Everybody's, you know, eating and breaking bread and having a good time. That's what we're about. That is that community that we're talking about. I know everybody, you know, wants to lock themselves away and, you know, oh, I don't need the world and all that kind of stuff. I promise you, you do need other people. And if you don't yet, let a couple years get on that body. You're going to change your tune.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. T, one more time, tell everybody where and when for this thing and how can they get tickets?
Absolutely. So this would be Mountain Readiness West, Swan Lake, Montana at Camp Ponderosa. It's July 24th through the 26th. We've got classes stacked in front of it for we got some CQB stuff with live fire sims. If you really want to get into the weeds and pistol class afterwards. 3-day event. Your ticket covers everything except for your camping, which is super cheap. And that goes directly to the veteran camp. And they're nonprofit. You can get us at www.mountainreadiness.com. All of our events are right up there, including that Texas event coming up for 2027.
Folks, you're going to want to definitely check this out. You know, T's a good buddy of mine. He's a good friend. He and his wife, I mean, we're teamed up for this event that we're going to have in October as well, Sovereign Health Summit, that you know when that's going to be. Folks, I'm telling you, they don't put on junk and they don't have junky instructors. I'm telling you, you get the very, very best of everything out of these guys, and I feel lucky to know them. Thanks so much for coming on, T, man. It's been a joy to have you. All right, y'all. It's a crazy world, but you got to get that training, and you need it yesterday. Till next time, stay alert.
Stay alive. I'm grooving with the truth, feeling nature's groove. We got the answers, all we need to do. Listen to the earth, they got us through. Let's see the shame, watch the world spin. From the smallest sprout to harmony begin. In the cycle of life, where the magic's alive.